Hey, I'm Gordon. I'm an addict.
Hey, Gordon.
If we have a moment of silence, please, followed by the serenity prayer, please. God, grant me the strength to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I want to start out by saying that. All right, what's up, Sam? Y'all know him as Wade, I know him as Sandy. But I would like to start out by saying that it's an honor and a privilege, and I consider it a blessing to speak at any Narcotics Anonymous meeting or Narcotics Anonymous function, because a little over 20 years ago, nobody wanted me to do nothing. I just tell my man out there in the parking lot, they wouldn't call me for nothing. They'd be like, when they see me, it's like, oh, man, here he comes. So this is really like an honor, man. It's a blessing. And when I say blessing, I'm talking about, you know, we talk stuff, you know, about blessings and all this stuff. But when I found out about what a blessing is, man, blessing is God's unlimited goodness. And I keep tapping into God's unlimited goodness, right? My. I want to thank Eric and this area for thinking about me to come up here and share. Sometimes it never ceases to amaze me. My topic is just for today. Just for today. My story is jails and institutions. But check this out. For those of you that have never been in a physical prison, I'm talking about for those of you who never had bars, think about the prison in the mind that you formed, that you kept yourself in for years and years and years. That was the worst prison. I could never get out of that prison. They say, and I heard somebody say, and I'll probably repeat just about everything everybody said around here. It's just my take on stuff, right? But somebody said that in Who's an Addict, it says that some of us believe that we had this disease long before we used the chemical. So newcomer, know that using the drug is just a symptom of this disease. When I heard the disease, I was like, what are they talking about, man? What do you mean disease? I don't have no disease. I just got a problem with shooting dope. What do you mean disease? I didn't understand that. I didn't understand the language of Narcotics Anonymous. Right? And then I'm a literature kind of guy, so if you got literature phobia, forgive me, but that's where I come from. I come from the literature, because I can stand up here and tell you about me OD'ing, shooting dope in my neck, all in my eyeballs, not literally, but in my feet. Yeah, I can tell you all about that. That's just for identification only. I don't glorify this stuff. At the end of my road, and I'll just give you a little taste, at the end of my road, almost 22 years ago in 1989, I was in Monroeville trying to steal some soap and some candy bars and some toothpaste, because that's where the disease took me. And at 9 o'clock that night, I was in this drugstore. I filled my coat up with all this stuff. And coming out the door, and all bells rang. Ding, ding, dong, ding, ding, ding. The police came up to me and said, all right, just come on with me, buddy. And I said, I swear to God, I was trying to get his stuff back. He said, just come on with me. And I went in this little room, just like it was yesterday, up in Monroeville. Went in this little room, and you know how when you get that periodic jolt of reality out there when you're out there on the set You know, you done did all you could do, and you're remorseful, and you're regretting. You done spun all the money, and that little boy said, what you going to do now? That little boy said, what you going to do now? So the security guard is asking my name. I never wanted to be Gordon. I was always somebody else. I ran around for how many years, Sammy? My name was Dish. Dish. Hell, that name comes from. But I never had self-acceptance about who I was. When I came up, man, you know, kids are real. You know, kids can be mean and cruel sometimes, especially the kids I knew. You know, and I got a flat head, right? They said, Steeple, why ain't you here like other people? And that kind of stuff would isolate me. You know what I'm saying? See, I had this disease long before I picked up a chemical. I felt uncomfortable long before I used any chemical. I wanted to be a part of your family. I wanted what you had on. I wanted a head like yours. I never was comfortable about who I was. So I acquired this name, Dish. Me and Dish went off into the sunset and then they killed each other. The security guard, man, the security guard said, what's your name? I said, Rodriguez Gonzalez. He said, well, how you spell that? Yeah. Oh no, man. My name's Gordon, man. Newcomer, we have fun around here. We don't take ourselves so morbidly serious anymore. See, when I got here, man, I was morbidly serious. Don't ask me nothing. I had the penitentiary grit. You hear what I'm saying? Because I come out of a penitentiary. Don't talk to me. Don't be hugging me. Where the women at? You hear what I'm saying? That I lost the communication. I lost that touch feel kind of thing, man. I was the guy that went to the animalistic level. I ain't talking about I was growling and foaming at the mouth. I'm talking about I worked on instinct. It was about survival. It was about just existing, man. It wasn't about living. So I'm up here in this up here in Monroeville in this drugstore, and I finally tell my name, and they call around, and somehow or another they called the parole officer, and they knew, said, keep him up there. We've been looking for him for 9 months. Don't let him get away. 9 o'clock that night, I was in Monroeville in a drugstore. 11 o'clock that evening, I was walking across the Western Penitentiary Yard talking about y'all just keeping up with me. That was my story. Y'all just keep messing with me. All I wanted was a joke. And they say that's all you ever wanted was a joke. You know, I hear people tell me I had dreams and aspirations, and when I picked up, it was gone. I don't know, but I ain't never had that stuff. So I come from a real dark place, man. And I know I ain't unique. I come from a place, man, where isolation and alienation was a part of life. I come from a place, man, where I can sit in this group right here and feel like I'm the only one in here. Anybody relate to that? The self-centered nature of this disease always wants to tell me that I'm different. Yeah, I'm unique. I remember sitting, I found the rooms in the Western Penitentiary, that's my story. And let me back up a little bit. They took me right straight to jail, man. I was sitting in that cell, man, and that same voice said, what you going to do now? And I said it just like I'm saying it to you, man. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to do what I've been doing. And that was my first heartfelt surrender. I've always resigned in my mind that I'm not going to do it no more. It's going to be different this time. I just need to do this, or I just need to do that. As soon as I get this package, as soon as I get this woman, as soon as I get this car, as soon as I get this house, none of that stuff worked. So I made that heartfelt surrender, man. And I didn't stay clean. I didn't get clean. I was drinking the old, you know, the jailhouse wine and all that old stuff, right? But there was something happening, man. I'm here to tell you, man, once you speak into this thing, man, once you surrender in your heart, something starts to happen around here. I mean, I ain't talking about up here. I'm talking about right here. And God, and check this out, I've talked God all day now, but when I first got here, when I heard God, it repelled me. I was like, oh, man, I would cringe. Because my relationship or my perception or conception of God had been distorted. As a young kid, man, I'd share this, but, you know, I used to put the guy behind the podium, I used to put him where God should have been. And this guy fell short in my eyes. Now, I get honest. I came home one day, a young kid, and the guy that I thought was God and my mom was doing things. So that distorted my perception of that institution. Right? And so once I picked up this chemical, that perception became even more distorted. So when I come in here, I don't want to hear God. If I'd have seen all these pictures, you know, the religious pictures, I wouldn't have stayed here. But God, in his infinite wisdom, man, understood that. God transcends all this stuff. And he started putting, like this, just think this. We come in, man, we don't see you know who the burning bush is? Us. I come in the room and y'all burning, on fire. And at home. I can go anywhere in this country, anywhere in the world, man. If I get around y'all, I'm at home. I spoke with four people in a meeting. I spoke with all white folks. I mean, the first time I spoke with all white folks in a meeting. Check this out. And there ain't nothing racist about me, none of that. And I'm in this meeting. I think it was in Meadville somewhere. And I'm up in this meeting, man. All these guys are sitting around, and it looked like they're just getting off of motorcycles and all. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm intimidated. Right? And I said, hey, everybody, my name is Gordon Amanati. They just said, welcome. I said, I'm home. This thing does not discriminate. It does not discriminate. I was in Tennessee. I spoke in Tennessee, man. I mean, back in the woods. They had SWAT stickers and all. I said, hey, man, my name is Gordon. I'm in there. He said, welcome! I love this program, man. I can't get this nowhere. Nowhere. Nowhere can I come in here and tell you how messed up I am and y'all just accept me. Think this. Getting to just for today. I'm going to try and stay on the topic. Just for today, I remember sitting in a meeting down in the jail, and I was afraid of, how am I going to stay clean for the rest of my life? That used to just confuse me, because I'm a guy to use for a long, 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 long time. I had to have something. I had to have a pill. I had to have a beer. I had to have something. And y'all tell me don't use nothing. That's cruel, man. To somebody just coming in here. That's cruel. And this guy came in and he was doing an H&I. And he said, He told us his name, and I was sitting up in critical care unit. And I'm wondering how I'm going to stay clean for the rest of my life. This craziness y'all telling me to do. He said, just for today, would be the best employee I can be. I said, oh, man. He said, just for today, I'm going to be the best husband I can be. I am, baby. He said, just for today, man, I ain't going to kick the dog. Just for today, I'm going to, you know. And he just went on. I'm like, oh, man, I want this guy. Hurry up. I said, I ain't want to hear all this just for today stuff. And he said this. Just for today, I ain't taking shit. I raised my hand. I said, what did you say? He said, just for today, I'm not going to use nothing. And I heard that. My first meeting was in 1981. Right? I had to go back out and do some research for another 10 years. Because right? I didn't hear it. Well, I heard it, but check this out. I wasn't ready to receive it. See, we hear a lot of things around here, man, but until we're ready to receive it, slowly over a period of time, man, and I received that when that guy said that. And for 20 years and plus, I've been saying, just for the day, I ain't taking shit. I hate this disease, man. My brother, man, here you go, baby. He's an ordained minister, man. I was at his ordination, man. This thing don't discriminate. I take this stuff serious. I don't take myself that serious, but I take my recovery dead serious. Right? And he's an ordained minister, man. And he went to Philly somewhere and, you know, following a dream, and he didn't get to church and all that stuff, and wound up smoking like a Navajo Indian. Breaks my heart. Good man, he's a good. And he calls me, man, periodically. I love you, bro. I say, I love you too. Man, I want to go over Philly, grab him by the head. What third tradition tell us? That applies to me too. Pray over him, beat him, lock him up. Right? So I take the circle, when we say this prayer at the circle, I take that dead serious. When they say, let's have a moment of silence for those of us who are still suffering, my brother, I put my brother's name in there. Some things I just don't play about. Just for the day has a connotation now, man, where, you know, in the beginning it was about just for the day, man, don't take nothing. Don't use, man, don't use. Hold on, come hell, high water until the crisis pass. Because this too shall pass. Check this out. How do you know you can get through shit if you won't go through it? You get to it, but you won't go through it. That was me all the time. I get one of those emotional upheavals, right? And some would say, well, go get one. That's a good idea. Let me go get one. You understand? Because I didn't want to deal. This disease, and I think Lyle had the topic, one disease, many symptoms, man. This disease is just like a cold. You got a cold, you got, you sneeze, you cough, you run, you sweat. There's all kinds of stuff to be going on. So just for the day, man, I try and deal with each symptom as they present themselves. I still deal with low self-esteem in some areas, man. Dude, I work for an organization where everybody got these titles. MDs and LPMs. I work for a medical center, right? And I'm the only one that's Gordon the Attic. You're talking about self-esteem. And we'll be around this big table, right? And they'll be asking for it. I'm on what they call executive advisory team, right? I advise the executive director, me. The guy to walk across the penitentiary yard. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And then they'll do this, they'll pull this one. Well, Gordon, what do you think? And something inside of us is, oh, why they asked me? You know what I mean? Because I still suffer in that area, man. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel as though I measure up. So just for today, man, I have to give myself affirmation. Just for today, man, like I stay in this, man. They say that we become more God-centered and less self-centered. Right? And that don't mean you're going to be walking on water and all that old kind of stuff. It just means, man, for me now, I'm more focused on what I need to be focused on. Think this, man, I don't allow outside stimuli to dictate how I respond. It took a while to get there. It took a while, man. I have not been sitting around here for 20 years and something twiddling my thumbs. Because I knew, man, that I needed to change. If I don't change, think this, man, I swear, 15 years clean, the thought came to me, you might as well just throw in the towel. Stuff ain't paying off. I became confused. I didn't think that I was doing what I needed to be doing in this process. And, I was beating myself up about stuff. And I went to my sponsor, and I told my sponsor this, and he said, man, you know a whole lot about recovery. You know a whole lot about addiction. He said, you just don't know enough. I could have told you that, but I couldn't tell myself that. That's why we need each other. We're each other's eyes and ears, believe it or not. When I come in and I listen to you guys share, man, when I'm open, because sometimes I'll be in here. You ever been in a meeting just like I'm doing now? God be up here sharing. He be sharing from the heart. And he say one thing you don't agree with and you just shut down. Nah, fuck that. I know y'all do it because I do it. Huh? That's the self-centeredness. And I got to stay vigilant. Just for today, I got to stay weary of that. One of the co-founders of the 12-step program, Bill W., we mentioned that stuff. There ain't no tradition violation. We mentioned it in the basic text. But he said, be on guard against the unguarded moment because it's coming. Be on guard against the unguarded moment because it's coming. So just for today, man, I got to be vigilant about those external and internal forces out to destroy us, whatever they might be. Whatever they might be. I got to be vigilant. I got to stay on the lookout for that, man. Just for today is a prop. I've been reading Just for Today for a long time, every morning. And now if you ask me what to say today, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't. But I read it every morning. It's become it's religion for me. I do it religiously. Because it seems to put me ready. It kind of armors me for the day. You hear what I'm saying? There's a lot of things out there, man. It's out there, man. It's out to destroy us. And it's not a lot of times. It's not outside. Right here. Those internal forces, man, it always comes in. It always tries to creep in. So I got to stay in the day. Pick this. They talk about something about dreading the future. Dreading the past, regretting the past, dreading the future, and ain't too thrilled about the present. Right? So if I can stay out of yesterday, because that's dead and gone, ain't nothing I can do about that. Right? And don't worry too much about what's going to happen tomorrow, but stay right here in the day. Because my sponsor always say, if you stay in the day, the tomorrow's going to take care of itself. I said, how that? He said, because tomorrow is the day. That went over your head. If you stay in the day, tomorrow will take care of itself. Because tomorrow is the day. That is deep. That might come to you a little later on down the line. You might say, what the hell is he talking about? But trust me, it'll hit you. It's going to hit you. Because in our literature, it talks about we live in the here and now. This is where we recover. We're recovering right now. We ain't recovering, it's right now. This is the most important moment in our lives right now. Because when we walk out this door, ain't nothing promised. Nothing. Nothing. They say in our ministry, we begin to touch time and feel reality. Touch time and feel reality. And let me kind of break that down for you. Dig this. What do you mean touch time and feel reality? That's in our liturgy, right? When I first read it, I said, what are they talking? Listen. If I was to go out there right now, 20 years later, if I was to go out on the set right now to my old cronies, a lot of them know I'm in recovery. But some of them would say stuff like this. Where you been for the last couple of years? 20 years! Where you been for the last... Or they'll say this. I knew that Narcotics Anonymous stuff wasn't going to work. How much money you got? What you trying to do? They stuck. That's what they talk about being stuck. That's what they talk. They're stuck. I was stuck. When I got busted, it was in 89. I had old matted afro turned like this. I had some bell bottoms, some 1972 bell bottoms, right? And I still had some wedgies. I was stuck. Yeah. Stuck. I was not a part of the time. You know what I'm saying? I was really living in the moment. But see, I was just stuck, man. Spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, man. I could tell you anything that happened in 1969, but I couldn't tell you what happened yesterday. That's how we get stuck. Think this. Our loved ones, man, yesterday, it's coming around. I'm going to sign it. All right. Our loved ones, man, like, you know, we cause a lot of... Our loved ones are afflicted by our disease. They're not... Affected. We're afflicted, right? And I remember 3 years clean. At the end of my road, my sister told me this. I know I got to take my time. My sister told me at the end of my road, don't be coming around here talking about you, my brother. Don't. You ain't got no nephews and nieces around here. I mean, I never did anything, you know... You know, money and not, but emotionally, I let her down. I was her big brother. She didn't have nobody to look up to. We ain't got no dad. So I'm running around ripping and running and shitting on myself and throwing up all over the place and people kicking me out of places and it just the stuff we do. I do. I don't know about y'all, nice, but just the stuff I did, right? So this had an impact on her. So she told me, don't tell nobody, right? And so I come into recovery and get 3 years clean. Check this out. Now she's stuck. I said, sis, I got 3 years clean. I had my chest all out right. She said, so fucking what? Broke my heart. But what I got out of that was our loved ones, the same way we come to believe, they got to come to believe. How many times have I said, it's going to be different this time. I ain't going to do that and just do it again. You got $20, sis. So they go by what we do. They don't go by what we say. I say a whole lot of stuff. But do I do it? 20 years later, not too long ago, I walked her down the aisle, didn't I? She got married. She said, I want my big brother to walk. They come around. They come around, but they got to come to believe. You can't blow your trumpet and wonder why they ain't treating you this way. Why they ain't trusting me? I done stopped using for 30 days. Don't they know I'm all right now? Shit. No. Don't get it twisted. We understand that it's different this time, but they don't. And then there's some of them, man, is going to love you regardless. They love us, but they don't trust us anymore. I wouldn't trust me either. My mother, at the end, man, she was the only one that
I could go to. And then she changed the locks on me one time, man. I used to have the key to her house. I was homeless since I was, get honest, about 15. I've been homeless since 15. Homeless means that I didn't have my name on nothing. Right? Nothing. And I'd go to my mom's house every time things would get bad, and she'd send me up to the attic like I was Igor the Monster. Yeah, I had to go upstairs. Right? And she'd send a plate up. And she always loved me. She always loved me. Ain't no love like a mother's love. Somebody was talking about that. Right? And one day, man, she turned and changed the locks on me. Because I was running in our house like it was Grand Central Station. And I put the key in the lock. The key won't turn. I said, not my mom. Yeah, your mom, man. I hollered late at night, hey, mom! She started throwing rocks up in her room, at her window. Finally, she got up. She said, boy, when are you going to do something different? I didn't want to hear that. Because I was so caught up in this thing we call the disease of addiction, man, I lost the ability to touch time and feel reality. Somebody said it earlier, man, I wasn't bothered, I wasn't hurting nobody but myself. You live your life and I'll live mine. That attitude. I don't live like that today, man. Just for the day, I don't live like that. Just for the day, listen to this. Just for the day, my thoughts will be on my recovery. Living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Not living and dreading life. I didn't come into recovery to be miserable. I didn't. And I've been miserable in recovery, don't get me wrong. But not by somebody else's doing, but by my choices. You hear what I'm saying? I bought my own misery in recovery. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Change my attitude about life, man. Life was always hostile and resentful to me. It was always about society. I come up under the black power era. The black power, and that was just my reason to continue to use. I wasn't militant, nothing. You know what I'm saying? I talked that stuff. All I wanted was a joke. Y'all can go on and change this, whatever y'all want to do. But you hear what I'm saying? My perspective was always distorted, man, about life. Because my perspective on self was distorted, man. My uncle used to tell me stuff like this, boy, you ain't gonna never be shit. My granddad would say stuff like, my dad was an addict, and I love this guy, I love that guy, man. But my granddad would say stuff like this, you gonna be just like your dad. So I heard a whole lot of mixed messages when I came up. A whole lot of mixed messages. And I carried that stuff on. I took that stuff on, man. So by the time I become an adult, man, I'm one confused kid. See this, I come in at the age of 44. Y'all can count it up. I come in at the age of 44, man. Right, biologically, but emotionally, I probably was about 17. Hello? I still had the attitude and the emotionality of a 17-year-old. I wanted my needs to be met. I demanded that they be met, goddammit. Don't you know who I am? I tell my wife, I'm on tape with this one. I was at some convention somewhere. And my dad used to always say stuff like this. I'd go and tell him about the new woman I got, right? He said, oh, well, maybe she'll make a man out of you. I'm looking at him like, man, where this guy come off with this stuff, right? I didn't understand what he was saying. I told my wife,
a couple years ago. I said, "Baby, you know you're making a man out of me." Just threw her all off, right? Like, what the hell is he talking? But what I mean, man, she's encouraging me to become responsible. She's encouraging me, man, to be trustworthy. I'm talking just for the day now. Tomorrow might be another story. But just for the day, man, she's encouraging me to be accountable, man. You know, when I come in here, say this, they say relationships can be a very painful area.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Very painful area. You know why? You know what? I thought I'd glad you asked. If I can't deal with my emotions, how can I deal with yours? Now, you got two special recovering people. You got two recovering people in trying to do a relationship. Oh, my God. Here you go, control over here and self-centered over here. And then they, bang, they come like that. They tell us... We suggest that you don't make a major decision. That's a major decision. But I'm not a relationship bastard. Get in one. If you want to know who you are, go on and get in one. You want to find out who you are, who you ain't, get in one. You'll find out. That's if you're working on something. You know, because I've been in those addictive, codependent kind of relationship where it was just out of convenience. Talking to the men now. You know how we get in those relationships out of convenience? Well, I'll tell you about me. Like I say, I'm the leech. I'm a leech. I was a leech. I need to clarify that. I was the guy that go get a woman. She had all the prompts. Props. She had the car. She had the crib. You know what I'm saying? All the creature comforts. Thank you. And I would come in with my food stamps. $205 in one hand, food stamps in the other. You know she ain't getting the $205. And give her half of the food stamps and go sell the rest. And I was this guy. I would bring my buddies over. We in there getting high. And they say, "Man, you got a nice spot." I said, "Yeah, man, we just bought that over there. I ain't bought nothing." So that's where I come from, right? So now I come recovering. Y'all telling me, "Man, you got to get responsible. You got to be a productive member of society." I ain't got no work ethic, man. I think I was a paper boy. I stole, man. I was a thief. Wasn't good at it either. Told you I was stealing candy bars and stuff at the end of the road. And I come in, this is for new people. This that thing about, you know, you got a record and you can't get a job and that. They just, when I come in, the recovery man was cutting grass and I was getting paid under the table. Hard job. Tell my wife, she said, "How you keep getting all these jobs? You can go to work anytime." I bet I paid for this. I used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd have to be to work at 5. We'd be out there cutting grass. Hard work. But I felt grateful. I'm clean. Right? Then I got this job in a t-shirt factory. I was doing t-shirts. I was a silk cleaner. Right? Grateful, man. I used to come in every day. They say, "Oh, here comes Happy Jordan." I'd be smiling. I'd be just as happy. 18 months, I was a happy camper. The next 18 months, I was miserable around. "What's wrong with you, Jordan? You need a couple others, maybe 50 more cents?" "No, I don't want no 50 cents." And I remember, and here's where God starts working in our lives, man. I believe this, man. When you do the right thing for the right reason, right things start happening. Check this out. I went into this field where I'm in now, and I went up, and I put in this application. They told me, "We can't use you. We don't want you," and da-da-da-da-da. I went back to my support group, and I told them, man, I don't even know why I went up. And people were talking about, "I don't know why you went up there anyway. You ain't got no credentials." Right, that's the blessing busters. You got blessing busters around here.
I went to the guys, it was a blessing. They said, man, try again. 6 months later, I went to the same facility. And they said, oh, we'd be glad to have you. No degrees. Everybody said, you need to get a degree for that job. From that spot on, right? From that spot on, I am an associate director of a program today. No degree. Got a record long as Pennsylvania Turnpike. So, newcomer, don't let nobody discourage you from doing what you want to do around here. Don't let the naysayers say you can't do that. I'm here to tell you, man, this is about hope. Recovery is about healing. And it's about healing our spiritual wounds, man. I'm not talking religiosity. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm talking about a way of being, man. I'm talking about a way of looking at life, a way of looking at yourself, a way of looking at other people, man. I'm talking about a connection with God, as you understand, whoever that might be. Big distance, man. Just for today, I'm going to get out of here. I used to come around. I told you when I first heard God, it would repel me, man. I was like, And then some people would come up here and they'll tell you who their God is. We frown on that, but it happens. Right? Because what it is, it's an implied endorsement. That ain't what this podium is for. There's another place where you do that stuff. But sometimes we get emotional, man. I understand that. Because I get emotional. I want to stand on the mountaintop and tell you who my God is. But this ain't the podium. Because everybody don't believe what I believe. So we have to respect everybody's belief system, man. So I'm hearing this, and one time somebody mentioned their God, and I mean, they came out blatantly. I had about 6 years clean. I thought I knew everything then. You got 6 years, you think you. And I went to my spiritual advisor. I said, man, what is this all, man? People up there at the podium mention who their God is, and da 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 da. Ain't that a tradition violation? He said, what tradition is it violating? I said, ain't it an implied endorsement? He said, well, it could be, but he said, why does it bother you so? Well, we don't do that. That ain't what Narcotics Anonymous. He said, I know, but why does it bother you so? It's an isolated incident. Why is it bothering you so? He said, man, I'm going to give you a suggestion. Go home, man, and write about why this bothers you. Back then, we wrote everything, man. Oh, right. And I started writing. And I said, why does it affect me so when people mention who they're God? And I'm just writing, right? And I didn't pray. I'm starting to develop a relationship with God, my understanding. And I'm writing, and it came out. I couldn't wait to get to a meeting. Right? To share this. It was an epiphany, like Brandy was saying. And what was going on, I called him. I said, man, I found out why it bothers me so. He said, why, man? He said, because it used to bother me, but why does it bother you? I said, man, I think I'm jealous, man, because they know who their God is, and I don't know who mine is. When I said that, a new door opened. We sought through prayer and meditation. We seek it out to improve our conscious contact, how I perceive, my perception. You know what I'm saying? My contact, how I relate. Praying only, that's a big key, only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. Right? What I do now, man, sometimes I get real wishy-washy about this stuff. Speaking and all that, right? I go through these internal battles. You know, sometimes I don't think I'm worthy, and then sometimes I don't think I'm talking about. And I just go through these, and God just keeps saying, just go where I send you. Don't worry about it. And one of my prayers, part of my prayers is, God, help me with my assignment today. This is an assignment. I ain't up here ego tripping. I used to. Not no more. Because I know lives are at stake. Right? And if there's only just one somebody, man, that we've touched, I'm talking about everybody that spoke. Ain't that so, sinner? That we've touched. Take it and run with it. Right? And if you didn't hear your story today or part of your story or something that can help you, I trust me in this. If you keep coming, you're going to hear it. I tell you, it took me 10 years to hear that just for the day. I ain't going to take shit. It took me 10 years to really receive that. So I'm here to tell you, man, if you're anything like me, give yourself a break. You know, if you're feeling insecure and shaky, welcome. If you're feeling, man, like, you know, you better than us, welcome. You feel like you less than us, welcome. Because if you keep coming back, you're going to find out you just like us. Thanks for letting me share.